Good morning. Welcome to church this morning. My name is Krista Reyna. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. I am a pastor of adult ministry, and so that means that I get to do a lot of pastoral care here at the church, and then I get to work with an amazing team that puts together all of our life groups and our local and global outreach. And so I'm really grateful to be here with you today. I've been praying for you this week and this morning, that throughout this morning that you would get to know Jesus a little bit better, and that that would come through maybe the music that you hear or this message or just maybe conversations that you have with one another. I want to say hello to everybody over at our Torrance campus. We're so thankful that we get to join them live right now at this very moment. We are one church that meets in two different locations. We are in the second week of a series called Everything's Meaningful, and we have been looking at a book in the Bible called Ecclesiastes as a way to kind of understand the different seasons in our lives, the different things that God is doing in our lives. I think we all agree that we want to have purpose and meaning. Ecclesiastes is a book in the Bible that is called wisdom literature, and we look at wisdom literature as a way to understand the different seasons of our life. We try to understand what God is doing in our lives through this wisdom literature. Last week, Pastor Jason shared with us that Ecclesiastes was written by an aging king, or from the perspective of an aging king. And this aging king, he had a lot of different experiences in his life. In fact, he went on a journey to kind of understand all of the things there were to understand about life. And he referred to kind of the experiences that we have in our lives as being under the sun. This under the sun perspective are the things that we do and see and hear. And he explains to us that sometimes under the sun perspective is tough to understand. And sometimes it can feel meaningless. And it feels meaningless because it's apart from God. And the way to find meaning in our lives is from an above the sun perspective. That is where we look at our lives from God's heavenly perspective. I am in a season right now where I would love to gain some of God's heavenly perspective because I wake up every night around 3 a.m. Does that happen to any of you here where you're just awake at 3? I see some hands being raised here at Manhattan Beach, so hopefully you over at Torrance can get this as well. I wake up at 3 a.m., no good reason, almost on the dot. I look at the clock, 3 a.m., and it's so frustrating because I love sleep. It is so good, and we need it to survive and to do well in our lives and to function. And so here I am, 3 a.m., I'm thinking through all kinds of different things, conversations that I had during the day, conversations from like 10 months ago, and I'll be like, ooh, I wish I would have said it that way. That would have been really helpful. And sometimes when I'm in a really bad mood, I'm like, ooh, I wish I would have said it that way. Like, that would have been a good zinger. You know, we've all had that. I'm making to-do lists, thinking about things I forgot to do. And at some point, usually around like, I don't know, 4 a.m., 4:30 a.m., after I've been stewing and scrolling, I decide to do Navy SEAL breathing exercises. Now, I don't know, maybe Navy SEALs don't really do this, but I saw it online, and so I'm gonna try it. And I'm breathing, I'm in these seasons of breathing, inhaling, exhaling, to kind of lower my anxiety in the middle of the night. And I find myself kind of drifting off to sleep. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I have this huge wave of like deep regret over a time I yelled at my kid one time when he was really little, and he got in mud at school, and he came home and he was all dirty, and I was like, oh, why did he do that? And I think he was like 6 years old at the time. He is a 23-year-old grown man right now. And it's like, why am I thinking about that? Parental regret is tough, especially at 3 a.m. But it's just a season that I'm in, and I do want to find God's meaning and purpose in it. I haven't yet. Hopefully someday I will. We are all in different seasons in our lives, and some of those seasons are amazing right now. We've got great things happening in our lives. Some of us are kind of in between, where we've got good things going on, but they're kind of stressful. And then some of you are in a tough season right now. And the thing that we want to learn through this passage of Ecclesiastes today is that there can be beautiful meaning in every season of life. And that's our main idea for today. We should find beautiful meaning in every season of life. We're going to look at kind of this seasonal language a lot today. We all understand seasons from nature. Seasons kind of come and go. It's a little bit more difficult in Southern California to understand seasons, though, because they kind of all blend together. I think the most dramatic seasonal change experience we have here is when you walk into Trader Joe's and everything is pumpkin flavored. It's so true. I don't know. Do you guys eat this stuff? I'm not a big fan of pumpkin. And good thing that seasons come and go. So pumpkin season goes away. And oftentimes the seasons of our life change and they come and go. Not always, but generally we know that seasons move along in our lives. The author of Ecclesiastes uses seasonal language as a metaphor to describe the different seasons we go through. I'm going to read through a pretty lengthy passage for you. We'll talk about it after I read through the whole thing, so stick with me. He writes, "For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal." I'm going to talk more specifically about that one in a moment, a time to kill. "A time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry, a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." There's something really human about reading this list because we can say, gosh, I have experienced a lot of those seasons in my life. And I do want to acknowledge those seasons that are a little bit more or harsh, like killing and war and death. And we have to remember at that moment that this was written from the perspective of this aging king who had experienced all of life. And so what he's saying here is not, he's not advocating for these things. He's showing us his observations about the world. And those are observations that we have as well. Just after he lists all of these seasons, he writes this: "God has made everything beautiful for its own time." That's an interesting thing to say, because we can look at that list and see that some of them, yes, they definitely do feel beautiful, a time to rejoice and a time to have peace in our lives. But other seasons, it's like, they don't feel beautiful. How does war turn into beauty? How does hate turn into beauty? And those are great questions that we should and can be asking. I think what he's getting at here, though, is that in our lives, God sees the beginning to the end, and he sees all of the different seasons that we go through, and somehow, in God's goodness and God's sovereignty, he can take all of the seasons in our lives and turn them into something really beautiful. And I want to be really careful here, because he's not saying that every season feels beautiful. And he's also not saying that when we are in a difficult time that we should have kind of that toxic positivity and be like, wow, God, this is hard, but it's really beautiful. He's not saying that. Because when we are in those more challenging times in our life, we do ask questions like, God, why is this happening to me? Isn't there 1,000 other ways that my life could be beautiful? Why does it have to be this way? And those are questions that we can ask of God. He is able to hear those questions from us. But even in those moments where life is challenging, it's really important that we know that God is still present in our lives through every season. Remember, our main idea for today was that we can find beautiful meaning in every season of life. Here's the first reason why. God is present with us in every season of our lives. This is a beautiful thing that we can know about God, is that he is always with us. And one of the ways that he shows us he's always with us is through the birth of Jesus. Jesus sent his only son to this earth so that we could know God in a personal way. Jesus was fully God. Jesus is fully God, and he's also fully human. One of the things that comforted me while I was reading through this passage was realizing that Jesus experienced all of those seasons that I read earlier on this list. I actually took a piece of paper and I wrote down all of the different seasons that were listed in Ecclesiastes. And then I read through the book of Luke, which describes the life of Jesus, as well as some of the other stories of Jesus' life. And I just started noting where Jesus experienced seasons. I'm going to share a couple of them with you this morning. There are many, many of them, and this might be a great Bible study for some of you to do. But Jesus was born. We celebrate that at Christmas. Jesus had a time to heal. Now, Jesus healed people in miraculous ways. We don't have that ability. But we do have ability to heal relationships that are broken. We do have the ability to say, hey, I'm sorry. Can we start again? We have the ability to work on healing our own inner conflict, our own unresolved grief. We can find healing through talking to a professional therapist, talking to a pastor, talking to a friend. Jesus cried, he wept. We see that Jesus had times where he rejoiced. He went to a wedding, he was at parties with people. Jesus had a time to embrace. He embraced everyone that wanted to know him. We have that same ability to embrace the people in our lives. Jesus was quiet at times. He talked a lot, but he also had those times where he went away and he was quiet and there was a time to die. We recognize his death and celebrate his resurrection on Easter Sunday. I think one of the arguments to this list is we don't see how Jesus knew what we went through. Jesus wasn't married. We think like, well, Jesus doesn't know my spouse. Jesus didn't have kids. You're laughing. Jesus didn't have kids that kept him up at night. Jesus didn't have to pass calculus, and he didn't have that boss that was really difficult to deal with. And yes, those things are true. But the experiences that Jesus had in his life, they allowed him to feel and know exactly what we're going through. And there is something so comforting about knowing that there's somebody in your life that understands your feelings, that understands your season. One of the things that Jesus said to his followers was this. He said, be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. When you know Jesus, this is true for you. He is always right there by your side. And if you're here today and you're like, I don't know that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, I'm not sure what I think about Jesus yet, come find me after the service. Let's talk to our prayer team, or fill out that connect card, because we would love to process that with you. I want to say for all of us, don't give up on this understanding that Jesus is always with you. Keep reading your Bible and coming to church, and maybe you're in a life group. Keep going, because in those spaces, you can learn about God. And I believe the more that we open ourselves up and we surrender to him, the more we are going to realize that he is active in our lives and that he understands and knows the things we're going through. Here's an action step for you. Prayerfully consider one way you can honor God in your current season of life. Knowing that he's always with you, how can you honor him? I think some of you are here today and you are in a season that is really sweet and things are going well and you're so grateful for that. I think you honor God by acknowledging God's goodness in your life. I had a friend once who's passed away now, but she told me that every morning when she would wake up, I suppose that was at 3 a.m. or even 6 a.m., but her eyes would pop open and she would say, good morning, Jesus. Thank you for this day. Thank you for giving me another day on this earth. And I think that is one way that we can all honor God. Some of you are in a season right now where you need to be brave. You feel like God is calling you into something and maybe you haven't stepped out boldly yet because you're too worried about what other people might think. Honoring God, it means following him, being brave. Some of you are in seasons where you're in a tough relationship. And I think for you, honoring God means fighting for that relationship when it's healthy and good to do so. Honoring God means talking to him and seeking his wisdom and talking to other people in your lives who are really wise. That's what honoring God looks like. Some of you today are in the toughest kind of season. You are suffering through grief, maybe grief of the loss of someone you love or grief of a dream that isn't coming true. Honoring God in those times means being super honest with him. Have you ever gone in your car and prayed out loud? I love to do that. It's just a really free way to say whatever you want to God, and nobody's judging your prayer, and you can just yell out to God. That's what honoring God looks like. Keep showing up for him. He is with you. He is for you. He is your comforter, and he knows what you're going through. Jesus is with you in every season. Let's look at the second reason why we can find beautiful meaning in every season of life. This aging king, after he tells us about all these seasons that we go through, he tells us a story of a guy that he knows that's super successful. He has a lot of money and achievements. But this guy, he's completely alone. He doesn't have friends. He doesn't have family. And what ends up happening is he ends up depressed. And he ends up feeling, gosh, life is really meaningless. And so the author tells us what he gives to this guy as advice in his life. He says to him, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. I like this picture of the cord especially, because we all know sometimes you have like a piece of rope or fabric or something and it frays really easily. But once you braid that fabric or that rope together, it becomes intertwined and it's really hard to pull apart. And so what Jesus is trying to teach us here, what God is trying to teach us here, is that two is better than one. Three is the very best. And so here's our second point today. We can find beautiful meaning in every season of life because God designed us to walk through every season of life together. We see this definitely in the life of Jesus. All of those seasons that he experienced, he had people that were right alongside him. He had meals with them. They traveled together. They cried and wept together. Some of those people were with him during his darkest moments of his life here on earth. I think some of us live life a little bit differently sometimes. We don't open up to others. We live in isolation. Loneliness is really big in our culture right now. There is an epidemic of loneliness. But that is not how God designed us. God designed us to carry life together. This has been really on my mind a lot lately because in 12 days, I am going on a mission trip with a really tiny team here from Journey to Southeast Asia. And I know some of you are ready for a mission trip, but the reason we're doing this with a small team is this is like a scouting trip. We're gonna go check it out and see if in the future we could take more of you. That would be so amazing. We're praying for that. Part of learning about the space that we're going into is learning about their culture. Because we want to be really mindful of the things that they believe and understand and how they operate in their lives. Because we want to be able to tell them about Jesus in the most effective ways. Please pray for us in that we would have great conversations about Jesus. One of the things I have learned in this process is this country that we're going to is considered a collectivist country. That means that they care deeply about the community as a whole. Some of you were raised in cultures like that. Others of us were raised in cultures that are more individualistic. I want to show you a list of some of the different attributes of these cultures. Individualism says that we are independent. We really value personal responsibility. We think achievement is really important. And there's a lot of self-sufficiency of us taking care of everything on our own. Collectivism says that there's more interdependence. Again, they care more deeply about the whole, about the community. They carry burdens together. The group well-being is important. And there's a lot of shared responsibility. I was reminded in my study of a researcher that I learned about several years ago called Garrett Hofstede. Some of you might be familiar with him because he works with global companies and churches around the world. And what Garrett studied is individualism in the different people groups and nations around the world. I want to show you a map from his website. You can see that the lightest color is almost zero individualism. It means that they're very collectivistic. So over here is Southeast Asia, where I'm going to be. It is totally collective. They care about the whole community. And I know you've already seen the United States behind me, but you can see that the United States is the darkest color. We are the most individualistic nation, along with Western Europe and Australia. And hey, there are good things about individualism. We are very independent in good ways. We care about personal responsibility. There are downsides to that, though. We live in isolation. We don't have that draw for the collective community. We don't open up to other people in our lives, and that's really sad. That is not how God created us to be. In fact, Ecclesiastes and much of the Bible was written from a collectivistic standpoint. We need people in our lives, not only for the tough seasons, but those seasons when we need somebody to celebrate with us. People that we can go to and say, oh my goodness, I got this new job, or I'm so proud of my kid, or I passed that class. We were designed to live in community with one another. So here's our second action step today. This week, take a step out of individualism into shared life. Here's what I mean by that. For those of you that are going through a tough season, this means getting out of that mentality that says, oh, I have to look like I have it all together. Nobody can know that I have this challenge in my life. Reach out to somebody. And if you are in a space right now and you're like, I don't even know who I can reach out to, I want to invite you to serve here at Journey, join one of our volunteer teams, or get involved in a life group, because you will automatically have people around you that care about you and that they're curious about your life. Some of you are on the other side of a difficult season, and this is an opportunity for you to look back on that hard thing that you were going through and say, God, I didn't see beauty in it back then. But you know what? With some perspective, I see how you can bring beautiful meaning to my life. If you have overcome an addiction, or you have survived a rough relationship, if you've gotten through those financial instability times, support someone else. There are people that need you. This next example is for all of us. Let's step out of individualism this week and invite somebody to church. There are people in your life and thousands of people here in the South Bay they don't know that their life has meaning. They don't know that Jesus loves them. They don't know the purpose for their lives, and they need an invitation. We just finished here on staff, on the church staff, our performance reviews, and our ability to invite people is one of the things that is looked at on our performance reviews. We are evaluated on it. This is the worst thing for me. This is my biggest growth area. And I make all kinds of excuses. Well, I'm with Christians all day, every day when I come to work. And well, on Sundays, I'm with more Christians. And so I just don't have time to invite. And that is garbage. I live in a community. I work out with people. I go to the same two or three grocery stores, and I talk to the same two or three cashiers every time. There's no reason why I shouldn't be inviting people to church. And this is the best place to invite people to. The music is good, and the messages are purposeful. They are applicable to your lives. And you know what? We love Jesus, and we believe that the Bible is the living word of God. And that is what we are teaching every single week. Would you step out of individualism into more collectivism? Be a collectivist this week. We can do this all together. I have one more thing that I want to share with you, and then we are going to close with a song today, which I'm excited about. But here's what we talked about today. We should find beautiful meaning in every season of life because God is present with us. in every season. And remember, he knows what you're going through. And because God designed us to walk through every season of life together, we are meant to be a part of each other's lives. There's a verse in the New Testament that says we belong to one another. A few minutes ago, I shared this verse with you. God has made everything beautiful for its own time. The second part of that verse is this. God has planted eternity in the human heart. This is, to me, one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible, and here's what it means. It means that when we were formed in our mother's womb, God placed in us a longing for eternity, a longing for God, a longing to live with Jesus for eternity. And I think we all know, we have that feeling of like, yeah, I was made for something more. I was made for more than paying bills and paying high gas prices and waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I was made for more than that. That is a longing for Jesus. We were made to live with Jesus. There's a quote from a famous 5th-century Christian philosopher named Augustine. He said, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in you." He's saying, "My heart is restless until it rests in you, Jesus." Some of us feel that restlessness today, and we feel it even in the good seasons. We feel it in the joy, and we feel it in the hard times. That's Jesus. Jesus is what completes that restlessness in our lives. And some of you, if you're feeling restless today, maybe you can talk to God about helping you find the beauty in this season. Ask him to help you find him in your restlessness. I'm going to invite the bands back out here at Manhattan Beach and over at our Torrance campus. We're going to sing a new song today, and I think it's going to be pretty easy for you to pick up, but it's really so relatable to this message that we've heard today. One of the lyrics is, "All my life you've been right there by my side." And that's so perfect. That is a reminder that Jesus is always with us. And so while you're singing this song or listening to this song, my invitation to you is that you would imagine that Jesus is right there by your side and you're singing these words to him out of gratitude, and sing them even if you're in a season that doesn't feel beautiful. Sing them if you are in a joyous season as a gratitude, a response to him. Jesus adores you and he loves you and he wants you to know that he is always with you. Let me pray for us and then we'll sing together. Dear Jesus, I just feel so grateful for the Bible, for your word, for the things that you teach us, because on our own, it would just almost be impossible to go through this life. Jesus, thank you for the reminder that you are always, always with us, and we're grateful that you know the experiences that we have. I just pray a blessing on everybody that's listening to this message, that after today, they would have that thought in their mind of like, oh, I'm going through this, but Jesus, you are here, and I find beauty in you, Lord. Help us to be together more. Help us to step out of the discomfort that we sometimes have in our lives that keeps us from sharing our story, that keeps us in that space of perfection. God, we love you and we thank you. You are amazing and we're grateful to know you. And I pray these things in Jesus, your mighty name. Amen.